Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, your weekly automotive podcast hosted by two rather uninformed enthusiasts.
Nah.
I'm Sam from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
And you can watch us each week. We hope you enjoy the episode. I don't really know where to start.
Well, let's start with the coldness of this room.
That wasn't where I was going to start. Yeah, winter has arrived. We're back into that season of the podcast, or that period of time on the podcast where we wear winter jackets for most of our recording.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten to leave the radiators on whilst we've been away. If you've been listening to our recent episodes, you'll know that, well, we've been on the road for a while, and this is our first time back in the studio, and I hadn't left any of the radiators on, so it's freezing in here today. So yeah, if you're a long-term listener and you'd missed the weather chat, it's back, people. Here we are talking about how hot or cold it is. But no, there's a much bigger topic that we need to discuss.
Okay.
And as I don't know where to start, because... Well, lots of you have noticed. I don't think I've mentioned it yet. Maybe I have, because we're recording this on a Monday. It goes out on a Thursday. Well, long story short, my 360 is currently listed for sale on Collecting Cars.
Has it made any money yet?
Well, actually, at the time of recording, we're doing quite well, Tony.
Really?
Yeah, like I think right now it's like 40 grand or something.
Wow.
So I'm like, hello.
Hello.
Stop the, well, don't stop the bidding, but I wouldn't
you
be.
You only paid 40 grand for it?
No, I didn't.
No. I don't even remember it so long ago.
It was so long ago.
You actually paid a fortune.
I paid
for
top dollar.
Top, and a bit more, I think.
I paid 82 grand for that car 6 years ago. And the seller wanted 120. 120 was his first ask. And that was when...
Was his first ask?
That's when the market was insane, because Stradalis were selling for like 330.
No.
Yeah,
Were they?
There was a black... Lexan window Stradale that I know someone bought for 330 grand.
Oh, but that's one of them. I mean, there's only about 25 of them, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, come
on.
It's
a kind of sought after option. That actually, I think, is a bit of a disaster, because who wants plastic windows with little slots on a road car?
But that's like saying I sold my 675 LT for 350 grand and it's got one of them roof scoops.
No, yeah, sort of. But what I'm saying is that time, everything was super hot. So actually. Right. It was a lot, but it was kind of appropriate at the time for that
Where
car.
Where were we then? Is that 2017?
2017, yeah.
Yeah, we were flying.
It was the good old
right
days.
Then, weren't it?
If only we'd known.
I had five supercars then. Five.
What
and
did
they
you
were
have?
All going up in value.
Wait, what did you have?
Oh no, it was 18. 18, I think.
It's when you went insane.
Yeah, when
just
I
felt
went
really
insane.
Rich and just bought all when the cars.
Yeah, because I'd earned so much money in 17. And at the time, it was the right thing to do because they were all going up all the while. They weren't
everything
losing money.
Everything was booming.
And now look.
You were on every YouTube channel that existed.
I literally was. Like,
anyone who filmed
like
a car video.
Get me in your content. Well, I bought a new supercar.
Yeah, literally. Well done you. Well, I just bought the one car.
Yeah.
As I said, I mean, can you ask me some questions? Because I just this is such a big thing. And I'm like, just casually, yep, it's for sale.
I mean, Well, the biggest question is what you're going to get next.
Well, well, I mean, I guess the way that we can, we've obviously been talking about this for a while. So the last few episodes, I've been kind of teasing the fact that I've been, you know, umming and ahhing about the car, and I've been looking at various other cars for sale. Heck, I've been umming and ahhing about the 360 since the end of last year in our big epic adventure.
You were buying a Roma last week.
I was buying a Roma. I'd been on an FF. There was a Lusso chat. Obviously, there's the Stradale chat. Like, anyway. I think because I've been going back and forth so much with that car, basically being like, it's been such a huge part of my life and my journey as a YouTuber and as an individual and as a Ferrari lover, and I've done so much with it and the sentimental value is insane. But I was very open by the fact that at the end of last year, I feel like I had achieved everything I needed and wanted to achieve with that car.
Yeah.
I'd been through a full restoration. I'd done the Mille Miglia Ferrari tribute. I'd taken it to all these iconic destinations I wanted to. It'd been to Monaco. So I just felt like it was almost this ending of a chapter. And obviously I kept it into this year. We did the amazing trip to Morocco and things like that. But still, I kind of just was a bit like, have I reached that moment in time? You know, I've been looking, I've been Googling quotes about change because it's obviously this seismic moment in mine and the channel's life. And
do you like change?
I'm not afraid of change. Actually, I love change.
Yeah.
If I'm honest, my cousin has a great expression, which is called grenading of your life. Grenading your own life. Now, he's a pro at, like, not just grenading. He, like, bazookas his life. So it's a bit extreme, but he told me that phrase, and I was like, I quite like that, because it's like, it's very easy to just roll through life in relative comfort, right? With what you know, what you're familiar with, to not take those risks and gambles. And I am a risk adverse person. I do think a lot. You know that about me. I do weigh up many, many situations pulling the trigger. But things like Drive the World, things like just suddenly recklessly selling my 360, I enjoy, because it's like a wiping the slate clean.
Start again.
I always say it whenever we come back in the new year. I'm always like, oh yeah, new year, new year, new me. Because I like it as like a way to just, right, here we go, whole new thing. Let's.
But everyone does that, mate. I think everyone has the intention of that. New year, new slate, gets a bit excited, then literally a week in, oh.
Yeah, it's a bit cold to go to the gym, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fine. So yeah, New Year's a bad example. But yeah, so I like big change. Okay. I don't like little change, but I like big change. And
get divorced then. Better change your life.
Please, no. I'm not looking to do that.
I bet half the people watching, I bet they're agreeing now, thinking, flip it, hell, that is the biggest change you're ever going to have.
The grenading cousin is going through that, and he said, one thing you do not want to do...
Is get divorced. No.
Dude, that's the one thing to really avoid. Yeah. I was like, oh, fair play.
Yeah.
Because he's made some drastic grenading decisions.
The safest way to avoid divorce is don't get married.
Oh, no, mate. Don't be negative. Come on.
No. Well, if you don't want to get divorced, don't get married. Because in general...
I know, the percentage rates are high.
It's huge.
But as a happily married man...
Yeah, you've got a lovely wife. You're lucky.
She might leave me, though.
I don't can blame her.
If I keep buying and selling cars the way I'm doing. So, let's get back on track. Come on. So, yeah, lots of aminaring, blah, 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 blah. I've poorly bored you all with this quite a lot. So, why am I now deciding it's the time I'm going to part ways with the car? Why am I selling it? Well... because I did bid quite aggressively on a car, on collecting cars.
Well, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
At one point last week, you were like not much off of an FF.
Yeah.
As in...
I missed out by £750.
It was coming.
£750 I missed out on an FF. You know what the weirdest thing is?
Yeah.
I saw it 2 days later on the road outside my house.
That
exact
car?
Exact same car.
Oh, the bloke's winding you
up. Female driver.
No.
Female driver.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Well, loved her. I was like, wait a minute, I nearly bought that car. So yeah, so basically that's what happened. I missed out on an FF by £750. And when I was that close and there was a real chance that I was about to buy an FF, like, what am I doing? In my head, I had resigned myself to the fact that I would have to sell the 360 to be able to finance the FF, to be able to buy a car of that. I couldn't have both.
But why would you?
I guess why? Well, no, because very different cars, those two. But anyway, long story short. So I'd come to terms. I was at peace with the thought of selling the 360.
But are you sad?
Well, hold on a sec. We haven't got there yet.
I just want to see you cry.
So I obviously didn't win the FF. Thank God. Like, why was I bidding on an FF?
Some
why,
tissues.
What's wrong with me? Like, why was I bidding on an FF?
Yeah.
That was ridiculous. So that, I mean, thank God that person outbid me £750 because I think I would have regretted that immediately. Because obviously at an auction, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah,
if I won, I would have been like, Tony? Needed a new stock? So few. But I sat back and I took a moment and I went, okay, hold on, calm down, Sam. You got a bit overexcited here.
Again.
Bidding on cars left, right and centre, pretending to buy Romas, etc. But the one thing that was clear is that I had come to terms and I was at peace with, right, I think it is time to move on from the 360. So, long story short, my plan is to sell the car. Well, that's happening via collecting cars because I've had a lot of requests in the back over the years for that car. I thought it'd be the easiest way to shove it on.
Honestly,
cars.
Mate, it is definitely the best place for that car to be
for
sold.
That specific car. It's very unique and specific. That car on paper, it's a 56,000 mile 360. It's not going to be worth a lot. But there may be someone who's willing to pay a bit more because of knowing what it's done and how much work has gone into it.
But it's very good, that platform for niche stuff.
It's
very, very good for that.
And then that means that I'm in a buyer's position, because that's what I kind of realise is that
you're going to get your size 12s out and start kicking people in the doodles.
Yeah,
which is what I do every day, by the way.
That's literally your job.
It's my remit.
See someone's asking price and offer them 50 grand less. But yeah, it will enable me to stop messing around and actually go shopping. Now, what am I going shopping for? I think the fundamentals, it's a Stradale. It is a Stradale. I mean, so I bid on this FF and I was like, what am I doing? And there was a very nice Lusso that went for unbelievably cheap.
But your remit on having something like that kind of made sense, where, switch into something completely new for a while, get the buzz back for another mid-engine V8 car. Because, like you've said in episodes before, I think the Stradale and your car are completely different, but you think they're similar. I think they're not. But I understand your reasoning, because you think they're similar and you've done so much miles and maybe you wanted a rest from that traditional V8 mid-engine setup, essentially.
Yeah, I thought it'd be nice to take a year or 18 months in a different Ferrari just to experience, a V12 or a GT car from Ferrari and everything that could bring, before then going back to Stradale desirability or life. But whenever I really think about it, that's the only car that I want. You know, I bid on this FF and then this Lusso, green and tan Lusso was really nice. And then someone's offering me a 599. And I'm like, even that 575 I went to see, like, don't, I'm an hour about that. But long story short, I can't say 100%, but my plan is sell the Modena and then really get on the hunt for the Stradale. Because also, 10 years of seen through glass next year, that's the car. I do feel a level of achievement now.
Yeah,
which was my whole thing about, I don't want to get a Stradale until I've got to that point in my life where I feel like I deserve it. And I kind of feel like I'm there, and it would be a whole new chapter. Anyway, so that's it. The 360 is for sale. Depending on when you're listening to this episode, it could be live on Collecting Cars right now.
When does it finish?
Well, Sunday night. Let's look at the date, because lots of people listen to these episodes when they go out. There's a few weeks after they've gone out.
So 21st?
Sunday the 22nd.
22nd.
7 p.m. UK time. The auction will end. And I obviously hope it goes to a home, to someone who's going to use it the same way that I did.
Oh, it will. It will, mate.
It's in unbelievable shape, that car. Yeah. It is probably the most or the best maintained 360 Modena in the world, I would say. You can look at the service history on the Collecting Cars listing. Mate, at times we've serviced it twice a year.
Yeah. Well, you've had to.
Because of the amount of mileage I've been doing.
Yeah.
The money, the time, the effort that's gone into that car, it is spectacular. Mm-hmm. And you asked me, am I sad? Yes, there is a part of me which is sentimentally sad that car will not be in my life. But for the same reasons why I thought about selling it, like, I've done everything I did want to do with that car, even more than I could have dreamed of doing with that car. And the thought of embarking on a new adventure, potentially with my all-time dream Ferrari, Stradale, reduces that emotion.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It just feels like it's time. I might regret it, but how many times have we met people, spoken to people who've said, oh, I sold this car, I missed it, I went back and bought it back.
Yeah.
It's a 360 Modena. Anyway, there you go. If you're interested, even if you just want to have a little poke around, have a look at all the details and the beautiful shots that good old Freddie TFJJ shot for
Freddie
Collecting Cars. Yeah, good old man. head over. There'll be a link in the description of this episode, but if not, just go to collectingcars.com, I guess, and just search for i360 and you'll see my car. So, wow, big moments, big moves.
Really big, yeah.
And
yeah.
That means going into, I mean, heck, I might even find the car this year, but I think that's unlikely. So I guess going into next year, the hunt will be on for good old Stradale. Anyway, moving away from that, got a little bit of a weird admin update for you all.
Oh.
At the start of the year, we very excitingly announced that we were moving over to Recast. We were doing a lot of work with Recast.
Did.
Yeah, we did. I mean, and it was something at the time that we were super excited about, right? Mm-hmm. We were like, this is going to be mega. We're going to do live streams rather than the Patreon page, which was a monthly subscription. People will be able to pay for the content they wanted. We were putting the F1 podcast on there. We just thought it was going to be awesome. We were sold the dream. It didn't work out. I think we had some issues ourselves. I think a lot of you found it a little bit finickety and didn't love the platform. Kind of out of nowhere, they've gone into administration. Mm, so that was a fail, which is a shame because the team were amazing. We had some really incredible support and help, and they really wanted to try and help us make it work and make it work for all of you. But long story short, Recast is no longer in existence, so that's not happening.
Sometimes you just try something and it don't work. I mean, it's one of them things you don't know till you tried it.
Yeah. We know we're always going to look for ways to try and improve things and offer you guys more. And as I say, from what we thought we would be able to offer, that felt like the perfect solution, but it didn't work out. So I know a lot of you want us to go back to Patreon. We will contemplate that. I think we want to make sure that we can give a solid offering on Patreon, that we know what we're going to be giving you all.
We're always trying to make this podcast better and trying to think out the box. And as these boys always say, we're always behind the scenes working hard to try and improve it. And we will continue to do that. We put a lot of time and effort in. And, you know, we'll continue to do that.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, watch this space. But for now, Recast dead. I'm so sorry for any of you who feel like it was a wasted endeavor. But it is what it is. We move on. And we move on with car news, because lots have been happening since we've been away, mate. Yeah, bloody hell. I mean, there was a whole car show. Did you know that? There was Geneva Motor Show Qatar.
They bought it, didn't they?
Well, I'm so confused about what's going on. Because Geneva is back next year.
Yeah.
So how does that work? Geneva in Qatar and then Geneva.
Yeah.
What's the point?
No idea. I mean,
did you feel sad that you weren't at Geneva, Qatar?
No.
No, nor did I.
Not interested.
I mean, I don't know. I struggled, but that was a thing. Lots of people went, so cool. But we have some news and some cars to talk about. First one I want to do, and this is off the back of our Vines BMW live event, where the comment section on YouTube was horrific.
Oh, they were fuming.
People really were like, you idiots.
I mean, we know that.
Because we were so pro BMW, people just were like, you've drunk the Kool-Aid, you're being paid $1 million, these guys are chatting crap. And I don't know if that's because people are very...
Well, we were paid $1 million, firstly. And secondly, I mean, we do like BMW.
No, but genuinely, the way you've just set that up, the comments are going to go crazy again. Be like, Tony's just revealed it. Like,
no, I'm winding them up.
I think we were being... Anyway, do I even want to get into this? Long story short, we're going to talk about BMW again. It's because we genuinely like them. And we're genuinely interested.
I mean, I own one.
So did I for a long time.
Yes, of course. Come on. Literally, own two on the bounce.
Yeah, but apparently we're just being paid to say that we like BMW.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a new X2.
Yeah.
And it looks bloody lovely.
Yep. Well, mate, I'm not really sure about the back, really. I think they probably...
Oh, really?
No, I think they could have done a little... And the front's a bit figurative and, you know...
You're not a fan?
Oh, the interior's a bit fiddly as well, you know?
No way. Are you being serious?
A bit sarcastic.
Okay. Trying to play benefits doubt. So, basically, cool. New X2, especially the M35i variant, it's like a baby X6, right, is what it looks like. You know, if you didn't have a scale, something to scale... You could look at that and go, oh, that's just the new X6.
Is it like a, what's the Audi version? There's a
Q4. Yeah, Q4 e-tron.
Or the GLC coupe. That rival.
So it's small.
Yeah.
It's
Well, it's quite big.
But it's going to be smaller than an X3, for example.
Compact,
thank you. Because it's grown in size from previous generation X2. It's bulked up, it's beefier, theoretically more performance aided. These coupe SUVs confuse me a little bit.
And me.
Because you essentially lose all the practicality of the SUV, right? You lose headroom in the rear seats and boot space.
Smaller boot space, yeah.
But you get a sexier looking car.
Yeah.
And supposedly.
They do look prettier as well, but I'm the same, mate. Like when you see the X4Ms and the...
X6M.
The X6Ms and all the AMG stuff. Merck do a lot of coupe crossover SUV
things. Cayenne coupe?
Yeah. I owned one of them for... Do you remember? I bought Cayenne coupe for a long time.
I don't remember that.
Oh!
Oh, no, I do remember that. Yeah, the crayon
black one.
One.
Oh, no. The black one.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Oh, but quite a lot.
I've not got a clue.
No, I had one as my family car, Cayenne coupe, for 18 months.
It was all right?
Well, all right, yeah.
Did it break?
No. But you are quite right. I mean, there's not a lot of room in the back and the boot wasn't very big.
And that's the thing is this X2SA, like, I think it looks mega. It's, I think, unbelievably good value. So obviously X1 and X3 is where it kind of sits in between.
Huh?
But I expect, well, here's a, let me just look at the list prices firstly. Hold on a sec. Come on, where are you? Here we go. The M35i, 47 grand.
Plus.
Now, plus, yeah, that's list price.
Oh, so it'll be 55, 60.
No, it's not.
Really?
So the 20i starts at 39 grand. So I specced up the M35i. It's quite hard to get it over 51, 52.
Okay.
Unless you go insane.
Right, okay.
Because it's
fine.
Very well specced from standard.
From standard.
And then I also did a 20i with all the options. It's like 49 grand. If you literally make, if you like spec the tits out of a 20i, it's 49 grand.
But I think that's a waste of money, mate.
Of course it is. But I'm just saying, like,
but yeah,
because I was sitting there being like, you know, hey, at some point, maybe I want to go back into a BMW product. New X3, don't know when that's coming yet. 3 Series Touring, lovely. But price-wise, everything's more. And the X1 M35i is more.
Yeah, but that's the car I want to look at.
Is the X1 M35i.
I think that'll be a mega little car, mate, yeah. But you're right, that's going to be 40-odd grand.
It starts at 46.
Yeah.
So it's more.
But isn't the X2 just the coupe version of that?
It's not more. It's 2 grand. Oh, how's that work out?
It's a little bit less, yeah.
It's a little bit less. How's that work out? Yeah, it's the exactly that. It's the
or is it a little bit bigger?
Oh.
That's the, you know, is it because the X1 is like...
It looks so nice inside.
Would you say that's Q3 size, X1? Yeah, I'd say it's probably Q3 size.
Yeah, yeah, the X1. So I've seen the X1s around. Yeah. They are small. They are diddy. So this is supposedly going to be... Here we go. The fastest rain, do battle with the Cupra Formentor and the AMG GLA 35, not the GLC.
Oh, it's really...
The GLA.
Oh, it's small
little,
then.
It's really little.
So it is quite a lot of money then. it's quite a lot of money.
But
I mean,
relatively,
it's basically a jacked up mini.
But is it relatively a lot of money? Like, what are the price of the others?
No, not relatively.
Yeah.
It'll be the same. But
that's what I mean. So yeah. It's just, you know, in the grand scheme of things, that much money for a little car like that, you are going, what the heck? But in this day, in this market, it kind of sits. I don't know. I'm just saying, I want to see it in the flesh. I want to see if I can fit the pram in the boot. I want to see if I can get the ISOFIX base in and it's all comfy. I think it'll be too small.
I agree. And I think the X1 will be the better car.
I think X1 will be the better car.
Yeah. Or X3.
Yeah, wait for the new X3.
Yeah.
But new X3 is going to be a lot, isn't it? It's going to, a punchy new X3 is going to be towards 70 grand.
Especially the...
Yeah, 75 maybe for an
X3.
Especially
the Larry one, yeah.
Yeah, M whatever, 40i or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we like that a lot, visually. We'll wait and see when it turns up. Another car I like a lot, but I'm a little bit perturbed by. You wouldn't have seen this because you just don't care.
Don't be like that.
There's another final edition, last ever F-Type.
No, there can't be.
So after I went and made the world's most emotional video about the end of a production of a car.
I thought you had the last one.
Well, they're like, no, there's a special edition.
So copy and Zonda.
They've made it. It's called the Type ZP. ZP. It's a livery thing again. So these are F-Type R's. There's a coupe and there's a convertible. I adore them. They're celebrating a couple of E-type race cars, a Graham Hill car, which was blue with the red interior. And then I never remember the name of the other driver, which is like a grey white with a blue interior. It's unbelievable. Blue leather interior. It's unbelievable.
You know what's happened there, don't you?
Well, they just got so many cars left.
Just got loads of F-types, loads of V8 F-types thinking, all right, what are we going to do with all these?
150 cars, apparently, being made. I mean, Yeah, it slightly makes me think that they couldn't shift the final editions, the 75th in it.
So repaint them, put different seats in.
And price-wise...
No, please.
134 and 138.
Wow.
I mean, as I say, look at that, mate. Look at that one. Can you see that one? The blue with the red.
But you only like it's got a spot on the door.
Yeah, literally. And the thing is, I mean, look, I love Jag. I love the F-Type. I want to tell everyone to go and buy this. I would have one of these. I would genuinely buy one of these cars. I'm that idiot. But, I would genuinely buy one of these cars. I messaged Jag saying, can we swap the F-Pace for an F-Type? I don't know what Vicky and Mia would do, but I'll take it.
Yeah. Then you'll have three or four.
Back to 3 2-seater sports cars. What a dick. But I do, I'm a little bit like, I couldn't make a video on that, could I? Another guys, I'm back.
No, you couldn't, though.
And I worry that might not be the last one we see. I do think we'll have a one of 25 final run.
Do you know if you had like a real, real few quid, you'd be absolutely dangerous round a car?
Mate, I'd be spending cash. I'd have both the coupe and the convertible.
You'd literally just go straight down there and give me a car, wouldn't you?
A 1,000,000%. Like, if I had all the money, let's think, like, what's the equivalent? If I had Manny Koshbin money,
yeah,
I would buy a coupe and a convertible. Literally. I'll have to give them back the 75th anniversary on that one. And I'd give them that back, and I would take these two because they're just gorgeous. And then I'd buy a matching pair of E-types. I would have the worst car collection in the world, but my favorite.
Yeah.
So they were nice. I had to mention those. And then the news that I thought was super interesting, Aston Martin out of nowhere confirmed that they are taking the Valkyrie to Le Mans.
Oh.
So obviously we had a lot of back and forth at the time. It was always rumoured that that was the initial plan, and then it kind of went quiet. And they're not going to do it. Now they're saying, yep, 2025, they're taking the Valkyrie to Le Mans.
Wow.
Is that going to redefine that car?
It will if it wins.
1,000,000%. Because you can't buy any of the others.
No.
But the interesting thing is, will the production, I think it will, have ended for that car by the time that Le Mans takes place in 2025? I think there might be some spiders you can still buy if you're very wealthy. But the coupe is theoretically all sold out.
Yeah.
Spiders, maybe there's one or two. But even if that, I actually think just taking part.
Well, they'll make another one.
Well, there'll be a Le Mans. Can they though, financially? Well, they can.
Well, they'll do what they like.
At $5 million. Yeah. Because I know it's been cost intensive, that Valkyrie project for Aston Martin. I think they're kind of just like...
You know what I heard as well on the grapevine? I don't know how true it is, but he'd sell that Aston Martin, that Lance Stroll.
Lawrence?
Yeah, he'd sell it.
I'm sure Lance would.
Yeah.
Well, but hasn't his group just reinvested?
Perfect.
What's that perfect?
Best time to sell it when it's all been reinvested and strong.
No, but he and his group have just bought more shares.
Yeah, it'd be factored in though. He's doing it for a reason. I bet he's doing that for a reason.
I think we've spoken about it quite a few times that...
I think he'll sell it.
He's a businessman.
Oh, yeah.
And the ideal business was buy it, bolster it up, make it look shit hot, and then get out.
Yeah.
They've had a bit of a crappy second half of the year in F1, but he's proved that that team can have success.
Yeah.
He's set up for Aston Martin to go back to Le Mans at top level with the Valkyrie. The road cars, there's positive noises about the road cars, even if maybe they're not selling yet. So you're right.
I think he would sell it, mate.
I think he would sell it. Well, who isn't everything always for sale?
Try and buy Ferrari.
Yeah, okay, fair.
Try and buy Porsche.
No chance. But also, it's a different... They're different businesses.
Yeah.
Firstly, you know, someone did buy Porsche, VW.
25 years ago, and it was on its... bum.
Well, but then also it was a different company when they bought it.
Yeah.
Same as Lamborghini. And also Ferrari, let's not forget the FCA link at one point. So
yeah.
It's not impossible. Aston Martin, I would say, a completely different company to Porsche, Ferrari. I think someone could buy McLaren. I do think someone could buy McLaren automotive.
I think they want to be bought.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And so I think, Aston Martin, I think you...
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Saying like, oh, try and buy Ferrari. It's a different, try and buy Mercedes.
But what I'm saying is they're at different trajectories in their history and where they sit in the food chain and the manufacturers, you know, like, don't forget the three or four manufacturers we just spoke about, especially Lambo, Ferrari and Porsche. They were all bought at the time when they were not very good.
My point being, sorry, the point I was trying to make, you're completely right. The point I was trying to make was maybe Lawrence isn't necessarily thinking, I'm looking to sell. It's like, I'm preparing for sale and open to bids. But if someone came along and said, we want to buy this off you, I think he would very much be open to it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, neither of us do, whether he's literally being like, right, guys, let's get ready to sell. Or whether it's not always for sale, because why would he's a businessman.
If I'm honest, from what I can see, I think it's always been part of his strategy. The noise he just makes in general, the way that the company is on the rise, you know,
there's a good vibe.
He's created or creating something, and I think that's his goal. And actually, to be fair, he's going to sell it at a profit, which is unlike Aston Martin. It's been built millions of times, always for a pound or, you know, something stupid, and no one has ever managed to turn it round.
I think he's doing an amazing job.
He's a proper businessman, isn't he? He's doing a proper job.
Proper businessman. Someone that you like if he's a proper businessman.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think with a lot more positivity to come next year. I mean, let's see, from a Formula One point of view, he's probably got to fire his own son, which is awkward.
I don't think he's got to fire him, mate. I think he's quite happy to go.
Well, there was a lot of chat saying, well, this is the perfect fall for Lance, is to end up leading the Le Mans project.
Mm.
So I'm off. I'm out of the team to go and head up the Le Mans project. It's, you know, it's not bad way for him to bugger off. I think next year there's going to be more positivity. On the road car front, we've got new Vantage on the way. There's a few other bits coming. I think it's going to be, a good story for Aston Martin in the next couple of years. So let's see. But I don't think you're wrong that he would probably look to sell if he could. Anyway, I think that's, I mean, there probably is some other car news that we could have touched on, but I've kind of lost track.
There was an electric Mazda coming.
Oh, yes, you wanted to talk about that. Mazda MX-5 concept that they're saying is going to be unveiled at the Tokyo Motor Show. You love it? What do you love about this?
No, I just love little MX-5s. They're like literally one of my favourite little sports cars.
But this is likely to be electric.
Well, that's all right.
That's all right for you?
But if the recipe's the same, perfect.
A new concept car previewing the future of the Mazda MX-5 is set to be shown at the Tokyo Motor Show later this month. This is an article from Autocar. Mazda have confirmed that the theme of its stand in Tokyo will be the future created by the love of cars.
Wow.
Yeah, so they've just teased a few little shots, little tail lights and things like that.
No, it looks cool.
Hey, you know that I am very excited by this idea of small electric sports cars. And actually,
would you like to tell the ladies and gentlemen what you turned up in today?
I would.
Perfect segue.
I'm here in the ABBA.
I know.
500E. And can we talk about my arrival here at the studio?
Let's please talk about it.
On the ground level at the car park, there's like the, what are they called? The maintenance guys. The maintenance guys for the building.
Yeah.
So, you know, every now and again, I have a little chat to them and stuff like that. And obviously, Abarth 500E has that speaker that emits the fake engine sound.
Yeah.
But it's so loud, by the way. When the car got dropped off to me this morning by the guys at FCA, I was coming down the stairs.
How long you got it for?
I got it for a week.
Right.
Oh, I wish I had it for a year. And so it's so noisy. So when we rocked up here, the guy came out and he was staring at the car. He went, "That sounds amazing."
I know.
And I went, "It's electric." He was like, "No way." I was like, "Yeah, it's electric." And I revved it for him. He was blown. It's like, I thought it was an Aston Martin.
Well, that was the embarrassing bit. So Sam didn't know I was here at that point. I was across the car park witnessing all this with my eyes. And he's got out of the car. He's all excited because someone's come over to talk to him about this bright, fluorescent little Fiat thing that he's pulled up in. He's got out. He's all his conkers are. He's giving it the big one like that. And this bloke's gone, "Whoa, that's not electric. Would you like me to rev it for you?" So he's got all excited. He's got back. He's opened the door. He's pressed the button. He's going, "Vroom, vroom, vroom." I'm standing in the corner thinking, what is he doing?
I've never revved a car on demand in my life. Yet, give me an electric car with a fake speaker. Giving it a laugh.
He's in.
I'm flying that Abarth flag. Mate, I love that little car. Literally, my drive here, it's a 20-minute drive from me from home to the studio. I was smiling with the biggest grin on my face. I had to go and pick up Twiggy because Twiggy was staying with my parents whilst freaking I was away. And
you went in that thing?
Yeah, and so right. My mum was like, "Are you here?" I said, "Yeah, I just driven in the car park." She's like, "I can't see." I was like, "I'm in the little green car." She's like, "What is that?" It's just, mate, it makes me smile. So it's such a happy little car.
Have you charged it yet?
No, so it's dropped off with 70%. But I can charge at home, so I should be fine. I'll let you know. We'll talk about that next week.
What, and you've been to go and get the dog?
No, but my mum came to me.
Oh.
Yeah, I've done 6 miles in it so far.
Oh, okay, fine.
Obviously, I've driven it before. We talked about it briefly. The question about, is it an Abarth? I don't know. And from a performance driving point of view, maybe there are still some questions. I've got a week to kind of figure out whether that's still true. But as a little city car, as a little thing to run around, I literally, after a mile, was like, I need one of these.
Yeah.
I need one.
And to drive 6 or 8 miles, that is perfect.
It's perfect, mate. It's hilarious. Yeah. It launches off every line. It's so nice. It's got so much kit, mate. Wow. I've got the big screen. I'm wireless Apple CarPlay, wireless charging, which probably is not helping with my battery.
It won't be.
Literally, I've got endless cubby holes, loads of charging cables. I've got a panoramic roof. I've got ISOFIX on the passenger seat. I've got loads of... it's just brilliant.
Sounds like a bargain for 40 grand.
Oh, it's actually more expensive than that X2 we were talking about. Yeah,
literally.
I mean, that is the big problem, right? Because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to have a brilliant time with that car this week. I'm going to think, this fits into my lifestyle perfectly. Like, what a little dream.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to look at the leasing prices. I'm going to jump
800 quid a month.
Magnitude finance calculator. And I'm going to go, I can't justify it.
No.
I just cannot justify it. And actually, the video I'm going to make this week really is obviously talking about that car. But I also want to look at, if you're buying that new, what can you buy used in the electric car market now because of that depreciation?
Whatever you like.
Literally.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's Tesla Model 3s, there's Polestars, like there's so many which would give me more range, more space, more practicality, all of these things that have already suffered the depreciation. So, yeah, I'm gonna.
But it won't be as cool as that little Abarth.
That's the thing. It won't give me that same emotion. So we'll see, but I'm loving it. I was smiling so much. It looks brilliant. The colour's insane. Twiggy seemed to like it. So,
oh, that's it then.
Watch this space, mate.
40 grand for a dog, for a car the dog likes.
Yeah, it's less than I've spent before. Yeah. And I have a habit of spending 40 grand on Larry coloured Abarth, don't I?
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
It's not out of the second of it. This is the problem though, right? So 360's for sale. GT3 happier than ever. I got another company reaching out about putting back seats in that. I was like, oh, I might look at it. So GT3 is like happy days. Got the F-Pace, which, you know what? I'm coming round to the F-Pace SVR.
Oh, you like it now?
Well, we came back from holiday because we were on holiday last week. Came back from holiday and arrived at the airport. Luckily, it wasn't in the car park that burned down.
Well, you wouldn't fly into Luton anyway.
Of course not. At least it was the private terminal. Because they do have the private terminal at Luton.
No, do they?
Do you not know that?
No.
Oh, sorry. Why did I say, do you not know that? Luton is they've got a whole private terminal. Yeah, if you're flying in London private, Luton's kind of where you want to go.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So when you're arriving there, it's just on the left of that big roundabout before you keep going straight on to the main terminal. On the left, there's the whole private terminal.
Oh.
Yeah, very vibey. So yeah, and just walking out of the lift and seeing the car, I was like, oh yeah, I got in the car. Ooh. I was like, oh, it's nice, this thing. Like, it just looks like it's just cool. And I was just cruising in it, put the exhaust button on.
You were fuming last week about that car.
The ride is still way too firm. The ride is still way too firm for the baby. And I still really don't gel with the spec. It's just not my spec. I think if it was in a cool colour with different, I'd probably be way more into it than I am. But it is a nice car. Something's happened since I've been away. I came back the last 2 days. Something's nice. So I got that going on, but that's obviously on a loan. So I'm like, well, I could spend some cash on something because I've got a free car. So and then off the back of our thing before, I was speaking about BMW about maybe getting behind an i5.
Yeah.
Get behind the wheel of an i5 for a bit. So, oh, I don't know, mate.
But by the sounds of that car, I mean, you don't want to drive that car. You want to be in the back.
Of the i5, do you think?
You want a driver?
I'm going next week to have a look at one and just hang around, check it out. Because as I said, they're very kindly offering to give me a bit of a long-term loan.
I wonder if the bloke who used to take you to school, one if he's still got a job. We could ask him to drive you around.
That would be my dad.
No. Not a chauffeur?
No, we'd never had...
Yeah. Don't lie.
We never had a full-time chauffeur. We never had a regular chauffeur. And I was never taken to school by anyone but my parents.
Right.
I'm just double
checking. Was you chauffeured around?
No, never chauffeured around. But occasionally, my dad had someone who he would hire to drive him and mum to things. The worst thing that ever happened, ever, was my dad booked an Addison Lee for non-London or UK listeners. That's a, I would say, very overpriced minicab service that was pre-Uber. It still exists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But before Uber, Addison Lee was your go-to minicab. And they cleaned up for a while.
They did, yeah.
But now they're so overpriced. Yeah. Anyway, he booked an Addison Lee to do a 250-mile round trip to take his dog back to the house in the countryside.
Oh, mate, that would have been worth more than the dog.
Literally. I mean, that's insane, right?
Barbaric.
I mean, actually insane. He was like, oh, I can't be arsed doing the journey, so I'll book an Addison Lee to take my Labrador from London down to Swindon and back.
And back.
I was insane.
Yeah,
I was like, Dad, just give me that cash. Like, I would happily do that journey.
Yeah.
It must have cost him 500 quid. He never told me how much it was.
It must have cost him
500 quid. He's a lunatic. So I was never chauffeur driven. But no, I'm excited about the i5, but I wonder, it might be a bit too big, a bit too saloony. Like, that Abarth is great because I was just flying through width restrictions on the way here and just, well, you know, launching.
But by the way, that is big compared to a Fiat 500.
Yeah.
Oh, it's huge.
Compared to a combustion engine, yes. 500. Yeah, 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 yeah. No, it is a big car. It's a big car, but it's small in today's world. That's the weird thing, right? Mm. Put that next to a Fiat 500 of even 5 years ago, and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But in this day and age, that's a small car in comparison to especially things like that new X2. What's going on in your life, mate? What's been happening since we last caught up? Your car's all right?
My car is up. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get the window fixed on the GT3?
No, not yet. It's going. There's no real rush. I don't want to use it now. It'll just sit up.
You don't think you'll do anything else with the GT3 this year?
Not this year. No. Okay. I'll wait until it's got to have a service early next year. So I'll wait till then and I'll get the window done, get the little bits that I need to get done. And then
did we ever explain that, by the way? Did we ever explain what happened?
I don't think we did in the podcast. No.
Did we even explain it on the main channel? I'm not sure we did.
Well, I think we spoke. We did speak about it on the podcast, actually.
Okay. Everyone knows that the glass chipped in the top right corner. It's like an alignment weirdness.
Very common fault.
Apparently, a very common fault on the 992, 911s, especially the GT3s. I chipped my rear driver's side panel or glass, whatever that's getting replaced under warranty. Yours was the top right of the driver's door window. It's all intact, so the glass didn't smash. Anyway, so
yeah, it just cracked at the top, and they'll replace it under the warranty. A couple of other bits, I need to get the shop rechecked. Obviously, yeah.
Did you get any recall stuff on your car?
They done it when it went in for the shop.
Yeah, they mentioned that
recall.
I said I want to get the car. Just booked in for a check over, and they said, "Oh,
you
wanted
to check the brakes, didn't you?"
Yeah, I feel like, and maybe this is what happens when you bed in carbon ceramics, but I just feel like there's not as much response as there was prior to our track day. So I'm assuming the pads took a bit of a beating, like we were going heavy on those brakes.
Yeah.
7,500 miles on the car now, I think. Mm. You know, I feel like, mate, you had the pads done after what? 4,000 miles.
Just over, yeah.
Yeah,
just over
so 4, I think the pads could probably need it.
But
need
I'd done two track days and big road trip.
Yeah, but I'd done two big road trips, yeah. Nürburgring and now Austria. Yeah, yeah. Actually, three big road trips.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, yeah. maybe they are probably due.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll get all them bits done and then it'll go and live at the Nürburgring.
You're going to leave the car there?
Yeah, I'm going to leave it there, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because yeah, I've got no plans of selling it, so I'll probably buy another car next year. I don't know what.
But what? You're just going to have a car at the Nürburgring?
Yeah.
A GT, it's going to be, what, that's the only thing it's going to ever do is ring laps around the Nürburgring?
Well, for now, yeah.
How long can it stay in Europe? 6 months?
No, you stay there for all the while.
No, it can't.
Well, it can stay there for the summer at least, yeah, yeah.
I think it's 6 months.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's 6 months.
Yeah, it's fine.
Once we get our licences back.
No, oh, yeah. Oh, mate, I need to do that. Have you got a letter yet? I don't even know if I got a letter.
Did we talk about that?
I don't know if we did.
We definitely didn't.
Well, basically, we got nicked. Well, it's actually not funny.
No, we're a bit all over the place today with our topics. And again, sorry if we have already spoken about this, but I don't think we have.
No, the problem is, mate, we've done so much.
The last time Tony and I actually recorded an episode was about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because so much was backed up and with the road trip and stuff like that. So,
We're sorry if we're repeating ourselves.
On our way back from the Red Bull Ring, crossed the border into Germany, we crossed the border and it was very foggy.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of signs illuminated saying 50 or 60?
60.
60 kilometres an hour. And because it was at that point about 7 o'clock in the morning, we'd been on the road for a few hours already, I idiotically thought, I know what I'm doing. I'll do 100 or 110. What did we get nicked at? 110.
Yeah, it's all right.
Something stupid.
So kilometres, not miles, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I was driving way too fast. But the road was empty. And I there's actually no justification for it. I'm trying to justify it. I was an idiot. I'd crossed over the border from where it was 130 in Austria as we were crossing the border. We literally crossed the border. It flashed up 60 kilometres and I just slowed down. I didn't slow down enough and I was being an idiot. And you obviously just following me blindly.
Yeah, I was just following you. I was listening to something on the radio.
And next thing we know, beep, 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 police pulled up. Undercover car.
Yeah.
What was it, a 5 Series? Undercover 5
Series? Yeah, 5 Series Bindo, yeah.
And pull over. And I was like, oh. And honestly, like, again, there's no justifying it. We were in the wrong. I was driving way too fast in the fog.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was definitely a trap. Like they obviously were positioned there to catch people. Because firstly, we'd literally just crossed the border.
Literally.
And just passed like the first illuminated sign. So they were just, they were like happy days. Like, we're going to get them.
Well, hold on a minute, mate. It's definitely a place where they catch people because they literally pulled us into a proper
there point. You go. Yeah, it was a full-on, like, police
point,
station.
Like a checkpoint. Yeah, like a checkpoint. Literally.
And they went, oh, hello! I'm not doing this accent as a joke.
No.
They were the most stereotypically, like, I'm using Germans. Like, we have a sense of humour. And they went, hello! You're driving a little too fast, Mr. Fane! Because at that point, they'd had my driver's licence. We got a 300 euro fine?
Yeah, 350 euro fine 350 euro. Each.
And we are banned from driving in Germany for a month.
Once we call the police station and register our ban.
We have to notify them that we are starting our ban.
Yeah.
We have to do it within a 3-month window.
4 months.
4 month window. There's a month when we can't drive in Germany. So look, as I say, no justification. Idiots from us. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you know, but it was fine. There was no one else on the road and whatever. We were idiots. So we got caught. We got a hefty fine. We got a ban. We deserved it. very painful. And then literally the guys go, okay. And they were, to be fair, they were very nice.
They were, yeah.
They were very nice. I think they kind of understood the situation. They were like, we got you. So like, what it is. And they said, okay, off you go. Just, you know, keep the speed down. Cause it's famous in Germany that obviously you have the de-restricted sections of the Autobahn. The minute there is a restriction, they don't mess around.
No.
Like, and that was our bad. Like, I should have remembered that as we crossed the border going, okay, wait, we're in Germany. If there's a sign saying this speed limit, do that speed limit. So what happened? We drove off. It was back up to 130 or 110 or 130. And I was sitting there and had cruise control on like 115 or 117 or something like that. What was I doing? There's another policeman.
Literally a mile up the road.
Because I was literally. Like, I just want to get home.
Yeah.
And there's not going to be another police check. So I'll just, you know, because the speedo is probably overreading. So 115 on the cruise control, it's probably 112. Like, it's not awful, is it? And he literally started following me. And he came up alongside and sat behind me for a good mile just to be like, slow down, mate. And I was like, oh, my God.
Whereas I was actually sticking to the speed limit well at done, that Tony. Point.
I mean, it is the problem with those long drives. Because you want to get home, you do start to take a little bit of liberties. And I'm usually very good because it's not worth it for me career-wise, but also safety-wise, anything to push the limits. These two occasions, as I say, I don't think... Well, definitely the second time I wasn't being reckless. The first time I just should have slowed down immediately to that light rather than just hovering. But we then peeled off, we went our separate ways, we went to the Nürburgring, and a little further down the road, I got pulled over again!
But it's because of the colour of your car, mate.
It's because of this was customs, but what happened was it was a de-restricted section, so I was giving it large, I don't know, I must have been doing 160 or 170 in a de-restricted kilometres an hour. But because I saw the police, and because of my prior to situations, I backed right out. I saw the police and I freaked out thinking, oh, is it de-restricted? Or have I just literally gone past another policeman at 40 kilometres an hour over the limit? So they must have thought, oh, that looks like dodgy behaviour. He spotted us and panicked. So they followed me and they pulled me over and did a whole search of the car.
Took his cameras away.
Have you bought anything? And the only thing I bought is the little Challenge Stradale model, which is at the front of this table in front of us now, which we bought at Motorworld in where was that? Where did we stop?
Is that what they asked?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it was customs.
They said it was customs.
Oh.
It was customs. They said, have you bought anything in Germany? And I went, no. Oh, no, I did. And I said, I bought a Ferrari. And they're like, what?
What? Where is it?
I went, this is smaller one here. So yeah, that was a bit hectic. And as I said, basically don't speed people. I mean, it's just not cool. It's not fun.
Yeah.
And we got punished for it correctly. And so we've both got to serve that ban out, which means that you have to wait, I guess, until that ban's over to be able to drop the GT3 at the Nürburgring.
Yeah, which is fine. I'll just, you know.
You've got time.
Got loads of time.
If that had happened to either of us in March or April.
Well, done us.
Big headache.
Done us in.
So, I mean, it's still bad, but yeah, just because of the time, I'm going to serve mine immediately because I do have some plans for December, January.
Have you got the letter yet?
No.
No, nor have I. Because it's been over 2 weeks. They said up to 2 weeks.
Will turn up. He said it'll be a bit slow. We have to fill out the paperwork. It's 2 weeks from when they've completed the paperwork.
Oh.
So I think it'll be a while. It will turn up at some point.
Because at one point, mate, when we got pulled up, I thought, when he said, like, you're not going to be allowed to drive in Germany, I said, like, well, how are we going to get home then?
Yeah, yeah. Like, that was my same thing. I thought,
flapping, like,
we're screwed now.
What are we going to do now?
I thought they might take the cars.
Well, they do in France, by the way.
And Switzerland.
Yeah, in Switzerland, definitely,
Did you see the Matt Armstrong video of his adventure through Europe?
I didn't see the video, but I know he was Switzerland and...
They got caught doing donuts by Swiss police.
Oh, no. Big trouble?
Yeah, big trouble. They got away with it. I think they got a similar-esque fine, 300 or 400 euros.
Oh, they were lucky.
But literally... I mean, it's because they didn't see them do the donuts. The police were on the highway, saw the smoke, went down, found them. Smoke was still coming off the tyres. There was rubber marks all over the thing. And so, because they didn't have any proof, they couldn't take the cars away.
Oh, they were lucky.
But so they took them to the police station, 3 or 4 hour delay, big fine. And it was simply because they had no proof, they couldn't take the cars.
Yeah.
Because Swiss do not, like, that would be my one, it's like, of any places in the world, don't do it in Switzerland.
Well, I got a few years ago, 3 or 4 of us, we was all on a trip. I got 600 euro fine in Switzerland.
I know someone's got 3,500 euro fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been some real... Like Switzerland is one place to be just very sensible and careful.
And France now, by the way. I've had a couple of fairly big fines in France as well. Where the copper... We wasn't... that much over that we were over the speed limit, but they said if you're 50 kilometers over the speed limit, we can take your car away.
Wow.
Like, literally just take
I mean,
car.
The thing is to say, like, I don't, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've never gone over the speed limit. It's stupid to say. And as I mentioned, like, I drive as carefully and as sensibly, and you hopefully can attest to that.
Yeah,
the
I can, yeah.
You do, like, I do take it pretty easy. Paul Wallace takes it as the easiest of all of us.
Yeah, he basically goes backwards.
He'll get a ticket for going too slow.
Yeah, come on, probably.
But at the same time, like, you know, don't speed, and if you do, you can clearly get a big fine.
I never understand how
the Americans get away with it, because all the Americans, they're always vlogging themselves doing like 150 miles an hour on the motorway, like, because they have no fixed cameras there, obviously.
No.
But if they get caught, they get shot.
Literally, the cop does you in.
Yeah, I don't. The American thing, I don't understand the thought around speeding and safety, and it's very different in the US.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was worried about when we got pulled up in Germany, mate. I mean, they
had guns.
Literally got out of the car, and I said to him, like, you got guns? And he said, yeah, every German police officer has a gun.
Yeah. That freaked you out a bit, didn't it?
A little bit, yeah. I mean,
because he had his hand on the gun. That's what freaked me out.
Yeah.
When they first got out, they had their hands on the gun.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
So they will shoot you?
Oh, yeah. I guess they thought that maybe we were gangsters.
What?
Well, not me. You could have been.
We
could have nicked the cars. Maybe we'd nicked the cars. And then when he put the window down, and I said, hello, officer. I think he was like, oh, we're all right.
So if it had been me, gone, what's up with you?
Yeah.
We'd have both got shot.
Gun would have come straight out, mate.
Oh.
You know, my mum's brought in trouble with police recently. She got 3 back-to-back tickets for really horrifically pointless speeds. So like 43 in a 40, 35 in a 30, and 26 in a 20.
But
back to back, and she already had 6 points. She's got another 6 points. She's going to court.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're threatening a ban. And I said to her, like, I said, firstly, so she's the sole driver in that household. Dad doesn't drive anymore. For her work, she needs to be able to drive, psychotherapist, so she needs to be able to get the patients, things like that. And his lifestyle, and I said, just go and just plead your case, because it's not like you've been caught doing 170 miles an hour down the M40. Like they are, it happened within like a 5-week period.
Yeah.
And I said, I think just explain that you need to be able to transport yourself and your husband, and you are the sole thing. And just explain the whole situation.
Yeah.
They're having a house being, and just hope that the guy gives you a suspended ban or something like that.
Yeah.
It's tough, that, I think.
Yeah, it is tough, because normally you can do a speed awareness course.
She'd already done one. I mean, the thing is, I said to mum, I said, you know, they are really annoying speeds. Like I say, you're not reckless.
Yeah.
The 27 and the 20 was pretty reckless.
Well, that's 20%.
Yeah, that's pretty hardcore. But the 43 and a 40 and the 30, like those two are, Yeah, in a quick succession, she already had 6 points, and she'd already done speed awareness.
All speed?
Yeah.
She's a demon.
She's, mate. She's already...
That's flat out.
She's already had a ban as well. And can I say this on the record? Dad also had a ban, but let's just say maybe he didn't deserve it.
No.
if you want to put two and two together, that's all I'll say officially on the record. So yeah, I get my driving enthusiasm comes from my mum, 1,000,000%.
And your ability comes from your dad.
No, what? Oh, because you're being rude.
No!
What? I think you've seen my dad drive. There's nothing complimentary there. Hence why he no longer drives. Anyway, well, look, that probably wraps up this week's episode. Just a general catch up about all the things that have been going on in the world. We've got another episode next week here from the studio where we want to chat a little bit more on what's going on with the car market, because, well, by that point, we'll know how much my 360 sold for, and that will either be, well, tears of joy or tears of sadness. But during my time of bidding on these ludicrous Ferraris that I didn't really know I wanted or not, I've been keeping an eye on values on collecting cars, and some stuff is going for a steal at the moment. And you've been telling me that things are quiet at your end. And so we're going to just update a little bit more on that. And then we've got one more live event, and then we're off to Australia.
So we've only got...
One more show next week from the studio. Then a live from Podium at Newbury.
And then we're off.
And then we're Australia.
We're going.
We're going, mate.
It's we're coming.
Mega. We cannot wait. We've got so much lined up.
We are so tired.
So tired. like honestly, so tired.
Yeah.
But we can't wait. Hoping to see lots of you there. But for now, if you want to keep up to date with what we're up to, you can follow Tony at Tony Granville Car Sales on most social media platforms. I'm at Seen Through Glass. And we'll be back with you for another episode next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.